We in the building, man. This is the Rat Pack Sports Show. We are live. We're not going to take a break. We're just going to run right through. Because we're in a little groove right now. But I didn't want to. I knew when I went on my rant that it was going to last a while because I had a lot to say. And I'll continue to keep saying it. That, to me, at the end of the day, I'm just telling you what I see. What my football eyes see. And you can ignore it. You can say it ain't happening, but you got the all 22 tape. You got, you know, YouTube. You can go, you got DVR, you can go rewatch the games. And you'll see it. But I'm just telling you what I've been seeing over the first 8 games. And I'm not making excuses of we have injuries. We have injuries. But the problems that I've been seeing, it didn't matter whether we was injured or healthy, these are the same problems. That's my only argument, is no matter who's in the lineup, these same problems continue to happen. So that I'm not pointing injuries on. I'm not pointing injuries on. You just can't go out there and lose a game to a third string quarterback. And you got guys catching the ball that either was out of the league for a while, hadn't caught any passes in 3 years. Them can't be the dudes. Those can't be the guys that's hurting you. But I give Sean Payton credit. He's one of the best offensive minds in football. And if there's anybody in the league that can adjust to personnel that he has, it is Sean Payton. So coaching wise, he did a better job preparing his guys. That was the least talented team on that field. And they play hard at home. And they came out there and they punched us in the face early. We finally woke up in the second half, made it a game. But, again, certain things continue to happen with this team if you continue to allow it. We cannot keep getting these penalties. We cannot keep giving these teams free yardage. I promise you on one drive, they had to pick up at least 40 yards just on penalties. Now, the personal fouls, a couple of them was ticky-tack, but if you know these officials are calling ticky-tack, don't do it, man. Don't do it. And the holding by a secondary, Jamal Dean, bro, you're the most experienced defensive back we got right now on the field. You got to step up. Now, Callaway caught that pass across the middle for like 12 yards late in the game. You were supposed to be covering him. But when they showed the replay, listen, to me on the replay, it looked like your feet was barely moving. Like, you weren't running with this dude. If it's third and 7, and I call a zero blitz, that means man-to-man across the board, I'm bringing the heat. Why is you allowing your cornerbacks to play 7 to 10 yards off the ball when you're literally giving them the first down? Because as soon as you snap the ball, you're already at 7 yards off. And then when you snap the ball, you're going to run back another 7 yards. Dink and dunk. First down. What are y'all teaching? Like, what? If I'm bringing a zero blitz coming, That mean I'm bringing all seven. And everybody else is man to man across the board. I want tight coverage on my corners. Play to the inside hip, tight coverage. Don't give up the quick slants. Don't give up any crossing routes. Make that quarterback throw that ball across your face to complete that pass. Make him have to throw a perfect ball to complete that pass. I'm sick and tired of watching these cornerbacks playing head up. And then they, as soon as the ball snap, they beat off of one move. And this ain't just NFL. I'm seeing this everywhere. And I've been saying the same thing every time I see it. What are they teaching these corners? They can't chew gum and walk, because if they're covering somebody, if they can't turn around and locate the ball, so the quarterback just throwing up nuggets. They know you ain't going to turn around. So literally, these are orchestrated pass interference plays, because these cornerbacks can't run and chew gum at the same time. And every single week. And I'm going to say it again. I'm just one person. But I trust my eyes. When it comes to football, I trust my eyes. I played this game at a high level. And the reason I played at a high level was because I studied tape when I was playing. I had ex-professional football players as some of my head coaches in high school and college. We were taught how to watch tape. We was taught to look at tendencies on certain plays, feet placement by the offensive lineman that could give away what plays they was going to run. Our cornerbacks were taught how to run and cover and turn around and still see the ball and locate and still able to run at full speed. So I don't want nobody sitting here trying to tell me that I don't know what I'm talking about. Because the great cornerbacks, you see that cornerback that's playing right now in Dallas, number seven? The reason why he's so great at what he do is because when he is in coverage, he is ball hawking. He is turning around. He is locating the ball on a full dead sprint. And he is getting interceptions because he is doing the things that defensive backs should all be taught to do. And that's how to cover, how to turn and see the ball. See man, see ball. You use your arms to feel them out. You turn around, you locate the ball. If you're still running 40 yards downfield, your eyes should be getting turned around, because ain't no receiver running full speed 40 yards downfield and that ball ain't coming to him. So if your guy's still running 40, 50 yards downfield, guess what? Odds are the ball is coming. Turn around, locate the ball. If it's underthrown, pick it off. I'm 6'4". My freshman year of high school, I was 6'3", about 235. And when I played my freshman year, I played strong safety for a game, because they needed me at safety for who we was playing. We were playing this big team that had a big back, and they needed me at strong safety. So I played strong safety for that game. did pretty good. I was on kickoff return. I played tight end. I was a fullback. I was a tailback. I was a defensive end. I was a outside linebacker. I was a defensive tackle. I was a nose guard in college for a couple games. So I've literally played almost every position on the field outside of quarterback, offensive line, and corner. I never played corner, but I was the defensive back. I played in the secondary for a game. So when I talk football, man, I'm talking from a lot of experience. A lot of experience, a lot of tape being watched. When I was in college, my college football defensive coordinator, every game we ran a different defense. Because our defense every week was drawn up based on who we played. So no team could game plan for us watching the tape the week before, because that next week you was going to see something totally different. We organized our defense around who we face. And that's why for a few games I ended up playing a nose guard, because they needed me in the middle and they needed more speed in the middle. Never played nose guard before. The coach came to me and said, "Jones, you ever played nose guard?" I said, "No, sir. But if that's what you need me to do, I'll do it. Just tell me what I got to do." Coach say, "All I need you to do is hold up your blocks. Don't get pushed back. And when you see that quarterback scrambling, go get him." I said, "All right, I got you." That game I played nose guard, I had 2.5 sacks. Took double teams on the whole game. Held them up. Didn't get pushed back. But I just, hey, whatever they needed, that's what I did. So I've played in many different systems. Well, I played in many different defenses, even in high school, same thing. You know, our defense adjusted based on who we played. So you're not gonna convince me that a professional defensive coordinator can't make adjustments. Bill Belichick do it all the time. I'm just saying, man, like, I know there's going to be some people that's listening to this they're just not going to agree with me. That's fine. But I'm just speaking from experience. That's it. I'm just speaking from experience. I've played nearly every position on defense and played enough position on offense. I understand the game tenfold. So that's all I'm saying. I see things with my eyes. I question it. What are they doing? Because it's not. I understand your system is what it is, but I don't believe in just running your system if you don't have the players in place to execute what you're trying to run. Make your adjustments, adjust to the personnel that you got, and keep it moving. Right now, I'm not seeing enough adjustments. So that is that, man. But let me get a score update here of this baseball game here. Last score I saw was 4-4 in the top of the fourth. It is top of the sixth. It is 7-5 Houston in the bottom of the sixth. So come on, Atlanta. Don't disappoint. Don't disappoint. All right, so we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back. After this break, we're going to continue the show. We got some other topics I want to touch on, so some surprising news around the league, and then we'll get into the game tonight, and we'll also get into tomorrow night's game as well, so. We'll be back. This is Rat Pack Sports Show. All right. Rat Pack Sports Show. We are back. We are live. Rat Pack Radio, WRPR. Online streaming, ratpacksports.com, and also the Rat Pack Radio, WRPR app. We're in the building, man. Cowboys and Vikings are tied up at 13. And this game is getting interesting. Look like Houston Astros is up by 2-7-5 on the Braves. Braves got a 3 commanding lead in this series. All they got to do is win one more game. So not that big of a deal. If they lose one, I mean, the Astros are a really good team. So they, you know, they'll get the job done. I believe Atlanta will get the job done. It may not be tonight, but they'll get it done. All right, so some news around the league. Let me go into a couple of the other scores here. I went on my rant talking about this Bucks Saints game, but Panthers took care of business. They're 4-4, 19-13 over Atlanta. Atlanta is just man, they're in the rebuild. They're definitely in the rebuild. I don't know how much more Matt Ryan is going to do it, but you know, he's looking very pedestrian out there. 20 for 27, 146 yards in a touchdown. That's not the Matt Ryan of old. Bills took care of business against Miami, 26-11. Josh Allen, another good game on the ground, 8 carries, 55 yards, 249 yards passing and 2 touchdowns for Josh Allen. 49ers took care of business. Jimmy Garoppolo, 17 for 28, 322 yards. Debo Samuel, 6 receptions for 107 yards. Mitchell, 18 carries, 137 yards. So 49ers was clicking on all cylinders on offense. Steelers took care of business against the Browns. Browns, to me, is a little bit of a disappointment. They should be a lot better than 4-4. I did not think the Steelers were going to win that game. Ben Roethlisberger is, like I said earlier, Big Ben is looking washed. Not washed, but he's looking like it's time to retire. He's up there in age as well, so you might be looking at the last couple seasons for Big Ben here. I think Pittsburgh Steelers will be drafting a quarterback next season. Eagles, 44-6 over Detroit. Man, I don't want to say this, but hopefully Detroit is not going to be 0-17. But they're playing some tough games. And this is the first blowout they suffered all season like this, but all their other games have been very competitive. They lost a few games on some missed field goals. Lost another game on a made 66 yards, I think. 66 yards or something like that. Jared Goff. not bad. 25 for 34. 222. Jalen Hurts led the Eagles in rushing, 7 carries, 71 yards. TJ Hockenson, tight end for Detroit, 10 receptions, 89 yards. Eagles are 3-5 on the season. Titans took care of business against the Colts. Colts are a tough team. They play, you know, they play some good games. But Titans took care of business. Titans are 6-2, and they got a date with Kansas City. I think it's either Thursday or next Sunday night. I know they do have the Chiefs next week, though. A.J. Brown, 10 receptions, 155 yards, and a touchdown. Ryan Tannehill, 23 for 33, 265, three touchdowns. And Derrick Henry, I'm not seeing anything on Henry, so I'm thinking that they bottled him up pretty good. Bengals and Jets, not the game that I was expecting, especially after last week. The Bengals took care of business against Baltimore, went and got a win. You know, had some momentum going into this game. Jets starting Mike White, I think that's his name, Mike White at quarterback for the first time. And the Jets go and get a win in the upset. That is an upset, 34-31. Mike White, 37 for 45, 405 yards, three touchdowns. Carter, the running back from the Jets, 15 carries, 77 yards. And that is, you know, took care of business there. Rams, Texans. This game was a blowout, folks. It was 38-0 going into the fourth quarter. Not sure what happened in the fourth quarter, but the Texans were able to score 22 points in the fourth quarter to make it 38-22. This game was not close. I mean, that's not a close score either way, but it was bigger than that. Henderson for the Rams ran for 90 yards and 14 carries and a touchdown. Cooper Kupp is just that dude, and he's torching everybody. You know, Matthew Stafford has done a great job since joining them, and he couldn't be happier, I'm pretty sure, with Kupp. No, they got a good relationship going on there, and definitely, you know, what the Rams was asking for when they made the trade for Matthew Stafford. All right. Patriots with the upset over the L.A. Chargers. 27-24. Patriots are 4-4 on the season, folks, and they've played some tough games, lost some close games, but the Chargers were the favorite heading into this game. Herbert struggled a little bit, 18 for 35, just 222 yards and a touchdown. Harris, running back from New England, 2 and 3 carries, 80 yards. Keenan Allen, 6 receptions, 77 yards, and a touchdown. Washington lost a close one to the Broncos, 17-10. Henneke was 24 for 39 for 270 and a touchdown. And DJ J.D. McKenzie, running back from Washington, we had 8 receptions for 83 yards. So, that is that for the Sunday action. And we're going to continue on here because I got a couple more things I want to touch on before we end the show for the night. So, you wide receiver, Stephen Ridley, for the Atlanta Falcons. I'm about to say Hawks. Atlanta Falcons is stepping away from football for his mental health. So that happened right after. Let's see. Really missed his second game of the season to deal with a personal matter. After also not traveling to London for the team games against the Jets. He played against Miami last week. He probably having some personal, family issues here. You said in a statement on Twitter, this will help me be the best version of myself. So is he done? Like done? Or is he just, this will help me. Huh. He don't really give me any detail. Really, teammates, first, as you deal with undisclosed, I don't know. I mean, he's under contract, so. Well, he's been present at all the practices. He was even at a community event that was held by the team in Atlanta, but he's just not. Ready to play football. He's not ready to play football. And he's going to be out. You know, they're just going to put him on the inactive list for the season. Well, hopefully, everything is good with him and he can get back to being him and playing ball. Anytime you have to step away from a personal matter, it's something serious. So best wishes to him and his family for whatever they're going through. All right. Bills receiver Michael Beasley says he's deactivating Twitter. Cole Beasley says deactivating his Twitter account was a weight lifted. When you see a lot of things on social media, and that could be wearing down, so to speak. So know you said some things in the past through Twitter and stuff like that. So, if it weren't for him, everybody else should be good as well. Yeah, see, this is something I looked at here. Gronkowski left the game with back spasms. I knew he was out there. But he left the game with back spasms. Gronkowski probably shouldn't have played, but it is what it is in that situation. All right, so what else is there to get into? So where are we at now? At the end? I'm pretty sure we're at the end of the show. What are we at time-wise? 36. You know what? All right, so, ladies and gentlemen, with that being said, I think that's going to do it for us here tonight. All right. So, yeah, that's what we're going to do here, man, because we're at the end of the show, and we don't want to. All right. So, yeah, we're going to go. Mr. William Graves, I want to send him a shout out. Appreciate him for calling in. You know, phone dropped out, and he's got to run. So, we're here. All right. So, with that being said, we're going to get out of here for this week, man. As always, we appreciate everybody for tuning in and listening to the show, and we are getting ready to head out, man. Appreciate everybody tuning in. You can find me on Twitter at TokenWild. You can find us at Rat Pack Sports with the Z. You can find us on Facebook, Rat Pack Sports. And we will see you guys only on the Flippity Flip. We out of here, man. This Rat Pack Sports Show signing out. Peace.